Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We have so many callers who say they never watch, but for some odd reason, the NBA is making a whole bunch more money.
And apparently, Kent Carman's making a whole bunch of noise watching his kids play baseball. Did he survive? Or is it like Draymond Green and they're adding up for a later suspension?
It's the Emerging Podcast Scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra and on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
Nah, I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Got a lot of media stuff today, by the way. The Cavs, or the, I should say the NBA's new TV deal. What did you say that the... What did you say that it could make players per season?
Yeah, judging by the new numbers on what this new TV deal for the NBA.
This is my gun.
Yeah, it should be. Say something. Oh,
wait a minute. It's got to be plugged in. Oh,
so
and that's a problem.
Judging by the some of the early numbers that have come out about this new NBA contract, which could take the NBA off of TNT.
Yeah.
Off of Turner Sports, NBC is considered to be one of the big bidders. I think Amazon, they still haven't really gotten down to the nitty-gritty on what they want to do with the regional deals.
They're saying Netflix, too.
Oh, Netflix, too? Yeah. But they're talking that the cap could go up like $60 million that first year.
Wow.
That individual player contracts could finally eclipse. It's just absurd. $100 million a year.
So there were a couple of things that you asked me why. It was especially considering that so many people tell you that they don't watch the NBA.
I have so many people in my life because they know that I watch a ton of NBA and probably too much NBA. And I've devoted a lot of my time, even though we don't talk NBA, national NBA, and I'm not doing stuff for CBS Sports Radio anymore. I just really like it. I really like
Well, no
basketball.
One is. It's Infinity Sports Network.
That's
now.
Right. Infinity. I like that David Shepard, by the way. He's been on recently.
All right. I love Shep.
I've been sending you clips.
I love Shep.
I've been sending you clips. So,
he's a sensitive young man. You better watch it.
$100 million is what a player could make at the top end, like a max deal. Like we could be talking about a guy signing a five-year, half-a-billion-dollar contract, and yet so many people in my life tell me they will never watch the NBA. A bunch of divas. We got tweets again today about the divas that are in the NBA. And yet, where is the money coming from that these players could make that kind of money? And then the furthermore, the next question I would ask is, can players in sports ever make too much money to where people would stop watching?
No.
Is there?
No.
And the reason I ask that question is, like, we know we are a far cry from the days of Doug Deacon, where he talks about how his teammates had side jobs, you know, to get through.
Mm-hmm.
They had their summer jobs, almost like they were teachers. This is only so much money.
Lynn Dawson was the TV sports guy.
Right? So, you know.
He won the Super Bowl, and then that night when I gotta go to work on it.
I got to do the highlights. So, you know, I always hear about this, like, you know, we love watching these athletes. They're one of us. You know, hey, I took a picture. I spent a night with Bernie Kosar. Like, the money in today's sports is so much.
I'm a two sneeze guy.
That I do wonder if it would be such a turnoff to people that are like, you know what? I just watched a guy that's making $100 million a year. He didn't show up in the second half. Or load management. The guy missed a week straight of games when he could have played. Like, I'm done with this sport.
You think salaries would take people away from watching?
That's what I'm wondering.
But
I'm wondering...
doesn't change the product.
So, I don't think it does. I think that, well, if they make the money and they just start walking around, they'll be replaced. So, I think that will change. I'm looking it up because I think there's a couple of different reasons, and let me tell you why here. One is I do think that it's just live sports is what is booing now. I think live sports pays for the projects of other entertainment venues or other entertainment ventures of major networks. I think that's what pays for it now. Before, there was not enough live sports. We didn't know. We didn't have the boom. I don't know if there was much of a hunger. I don't know if sports were as big as what they are now in America. I think that people liked other things. Like, you go back to the way it was before television. Like, I go, what did they do?
No, we liked. Real quick. We liked going, not we, our parents, our grandparents. They went to games. That was the experience. Nobody had TVs that could convey the experience of being at a game. Now you can get a great experience.
But
at home.
Like, when was I-77 born? Built. When was I-77 built? Probably the 1950s. So what did my grandfather do in Alliance, Ohio, when the Indians were on? So they just listened to the game. And I'm going, man, you could go your entire life in Northeast Ohio if you were listening to the game on like 1480 or something in those days without actually seeing them. You would see pictures and read about it, and you would know about the game of baseball, but you wouldn't actually see it. Like, that to me is just so wild. Like, yeah, they would go to a game because your family members probably lived close enough where there was public transit, or they could just drive from east or west side, depending on where you're from. But my grandfather was from Canton. So I told you, he treated Cleveland like it was the biggest city in the world because they obviously he grew up on a farm and they didn't get out much, and they came from Indiana over here. But I think that for a lot of people, they just – like, I always wonder, like, what did you do when football wasn't football between the end of baseball season and the beginning of baseball season? Just wide swaths of a little bit of football, but it wasn't like what it was now, and it wasn't really like that until 58 when it really started to have some passion. I don't know if it was as big as what it was. Then you go back to the 30s and 20s and things like that. Like, what did they do between? Because I just live in a world that's saturated by sports. It's my entire life. And I think that a lot more people are more passionate about sports than they've ever been. The entertainment factor of it, the conversation behind it, as many people who roll their eyes and claim they hate debate television, they can't get enough of it. They can't. I know Richard Deitch has his joke about, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants having higher ratings than First Take. And it's like, well, yeah, there's a lot more kids at home in the middle of the day in the summertime than there are adults. And so they're putting on television children's programming to keep those kids entertained. And I think that Richard Deitch obviously knows that, but I think he's like to have fun. But I also believe that if I look at what the ratings are, how many sitcoms do we actually see anymore? Are sitcoms the moneymaker that they used to be?
You'll have to ask Jerry Seinfeld about that.
Okay. sitcoms can't be the moneymaker that they used to be, are they? Are they?
No.
Appointment-wise, no. I don't think so.
There exactly. Was a,
you know, there. I don't know. Young Sheldon appears to still kill things. I've never watched an episode of it. I've seen it in reruns only.
Uh-huh. Now, this is my point of it. Like, you can have seasons of Yellowstone and put that over streaming services. And I know that they, like, during the writer's strike, they put Yellowstone right. on basic cable or network television. But, I mean, you could do that. But, again, so, I think something funds it now instead of the other way around. And I looked at – this has got to be an exact science. So I want you to immediately nip me in the bud here, Tone, because you do know about television. I don't. I want you to immediately nip me in the bud here. I looked at the highest-rated telecasts in 2023. Obviously, with the exception of the Grammys and the Oscars, it is sporting events, mostly the NFL, except you get to number 22. 16.8 million viewers watched Season 2, Episode 1, Next Level Chef, a Next Level Welcome. This is the season premiere of Next Level Chef on Fox, right? 18 million people watched that. 16.8 million. More football, all NFL, NBA Finals, which was 13 million, Grammys, NCAA basketball, 60 Minutes, we're getting into the 12s. This is the 41st most watched program, is 60 Minutes, Zelensky. Then we're back into basketball. Then, what is Fire Country?
I don't know, but I think it's a firefighter show.
Is it a like primetime drama?
Yes.
Okay, Fire Country, the 43rd ranked program. It says season 1, episode 12, Two Pink Lines. I'm guessing season finale. 12 million.
About a baby.
12,200,000 people. 12,225. Everything else is sports. Then you get into Yellowstone, the OT. The OT is, what's the OT? And that's sports.
That's a football thing.
Yeah, the OT, yeah. That's sports.
That's after, like if you only get one game on Fox because CBS has two games that week, I think you get the OT.
Here we go. And these are single-rated shows. I don't know the overall average. Single-rated shows. 60, NCIS, household name now in America, right? NCIS Hawaii Season 2, Episode 10, had 10.5 million viewers. So, I mean, everything else is sports. And I think that kind of paves the way for other things instead of the other way around.
I get that. But when everybody in my life watches football, bets on football, has fantasy football, does daily fantasy football, they're Browns fans. They also will watch every Chiefs game that is on national television. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They'll watch all the big teams every single time. A fraction of those people pay attention to the NBA. And yet we are talking about a new TV deal that is going to be the second highest in sports, right?
Yeah.
I'd have to compare it. Less teams, obviously, in the Big Ten and the SEC. You know, I guess if you combine them, they're right there. But if you added that up, it's probably right up
now,
there.
Now, does this have anything to do with global reach stuff?
No, this is just this does not
it's
include
all domestic.
This does not include the international money that they get. You know, just in the merchandising and all that stuff. Or you're asking if that is part of the television deal to get the games on in other countries?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Football.
That, you know, it might be. That it might be. I'm not sure how they do that. Like in Canada, they have the ESPN version of Canada.
Because basketball is the bigger worldwide sport.
Right.
That,
oh, much bigger.
I mean, that's the only thing that I can take from it. That's where they're getting their money from. Is.
I also think that we're not underestimating it. I think that basketball has a strong audience. I think baseball is one that might be teetering, but I still think probably has a strong enough audience. It has a strong enough audience to get a television deal. Football just has such a massive audience. And so I think we're just overwhelmed and overhit with football that we think that, well, if you pay that much attention to football, you can't possibly be paying attention to anything else. I think there's still so many people that are interested in the NBA, but nothing touches the NFL. Nothing touches what the NFL has become, the behemoth that it is, where, again, Anthony, like Major League Baseball makes mistakes in their programming, and we hammer them for it. NBA has made a couple of mistakes, not as many as Major League Baseball. We hammer them for it. In the NFL, we think they're going to make mistakes, and they just make more money. Oh, this isn't going to work. People are going to, how many times did I say that in the last decade? And then I gave up a few years ago. You know what? I'm the one looking like an idiot. You guys love football. Everybody loves football. And I'm a football guy. I love the study of it. And I go, man, even in the summertime, I need to weigh from it. Nope. People are still going to put on football and they're still going to consume it and they're still going to take it in no matter what. They're going to get NFL Plus. They're going to watch A Football Life. I've seen Vince Lombardi, A Football Life. I can't tell you how many times, both parts.
Yeah,
both parts.
My drop off, this is where me and you differ. My drop off of football is the last quarter of the year, bad teams, I'm out. I'm done. But I will watch, you know, start of the year, I'm watching everybody.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching every rookie quarterback. I'm watching everything. I get fatigued towards the end of the year. The rest of the country does not.
No.
They will watch all the way through.
Because you know why? Because they don't sit here and have to discuss it like you. I think you get bogged down because that's a discussion point tomorrow. And I think by the end of the year, football, this is a line from The Sopranos, football season's our busy time. You know, we're running here, we're running there. I got a thousand different things. You know, Owen's coaching football, I'm coaching football now. So your day is packed with activity. And by the time Christmas, by the time Thanksgiving gets there, like I felt this way when the Browns weren't very good. I'll admit this. Thanksgiving gets here, you can see the end of the tunnel. You'd see the light at the end of the tunnel where it's like, hey, got a month left in the season here. Like, we're seeing it now. And you get almost a senioritis by the time Christmas comes around where you're going, you know what? I'm out in a way because you know what the discussions are. But for the general fan, they turn it on and they turn it off. And I think they have enough to talk about with family members and friends and people that they, because a lot of us, and you're going to learn this very, very soon because Izzy is going to be too, is there is a lot of just, and you hate small talk, there's a lot of waiting around as a father. There's a lot of waiting around as a parent. You know, these conversations are had amongst the Real Housewives or whatever. These conversations are had amongst men of the Chiefs and Mahomes and what they're doing right and how could anybody touch them and can Kansas City touch them, can Cincinnati touch them, you know, the Browns, Watson's thing. You watch it because it's just, there's something there, but you don't have to spend your day in it. You don't, like the average football fan, if they want, they'll get NFL Plus because they want to. They don't have to watch every Browns game four times and then take notes during the live game and then take a different pen and fill in other notes when they watch it in certain points like I have to, like you have to if you want to. They don't have to do that sort of thing. So it's just general entertainment that's there. And I it's an insatiable thirst that the country has for this. And I don't think it's just football. It's dominated by football, but I think it's sports in general. I really do.
But baseball's not going to get anything close to this deal. They won't get a fraction of this deal.
No,
why is it that the NBA is getting this deal? Getting back to what the original point was, why is it that the NBA can get that and nobody else can?
Well, I'm trying to give you reasons for it. I mean, I'm trying to give you reasons. I think there's fewer players. I mean, when you got to pay 26 or 53 on an active roster compared to 15?
I'm not even talking about 12, the individual 12. Salaries. I'm talking about the nuts and bolts of the big number. You said you had it in front of you or whatever the
big nothing,
number was. I got
nothing. Then I got nothing for you. I can't give you an answer.
It's just weird to me.
I can only take guesses.
It's weird to me. Like, does that mean that we have a clear number one in this country?
Right.
It's football. And I'll put college football as number two, but we just all call it football. So number one is clearly the NFL. Does this not mean that basketball has, and maybe some will say it happened 20 years ago, but basketball has forged ahead of Major League Baseball in a big way with this TV deal?
Yeah.
Because baseball could not get close to this TV deal.
No.
Well, you also, it's the regionality of baseball to basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basketball to football is more bites at the apple. There's 82 games.
Mm-hmm. The NBA, I think, almost has it perfect. We were so afraid of players only wanting to play in Miami or LA a couple of years ago. And it's not that case. Players are doing what they can for their own personal happiness.
In Minnesota, Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Those are the good teams in the West right now.
Yeah, and you have a sport.
Denver.
That's driven by individual stars. It always has been, at least in our lives. You have a sport that's driven by individual stars, but they're playing in not L.A. They're playing – LeBron is LeBron. I understand that. but he's getting beaten by a guy in Denver. That is interesting. Nikola Jokic is interesting to me. I don't care what Chris Mannix says. I find him captivating. He moves like flubber. He's such a physical presence. He treats this as a job. But you can see how excited he was when they won against the Lakers and the buzzer beater. He treats it like a job, though. He's from this country that you see videos of it. They're setting fire in the stands. Like, that's how passionate they are about their sports. Any sports fan can get with that. But they have a league where people are stars. People want to buy their jerseys. People know what they look like. People care what they think. And they're not playing in the cities. Like, Golden State was a doormat our entire lives up until 10 years ago. Minnesota was an afterthought, never took him seriously. We'll see how it goes with Anthony Edwards. Denver was never Carmelo and Chauncey Billups. I never took him that seriously. Did you? No. And now Denver's the champion. I bet a lot of people from outside Cleveland would say the same thing about the Cavs, even though we feel passionate about Cavs basketball. I think a lot of those people would say that. So I think that you have stars there. The NFL, they have stars. They have marketable stars that play with a passionate fan base that people identify with in their areas. Major League Baseball, it's I don't know what it is. I wish I could put my thumb on it. I can't. I there's a million different reasons. And I hate it because I'm watching more baseball than I have in the last how many years now? And I told you why, because I have to pay attention now, because I think we took Francona. I took Francona for granted. Well, you just figured that, he'll fix everything, so I'm allowed to ass off for the day.
You just watched a very nice late April baseball series between two first-place teams.
I loved it.
And Atlanta is good. They are good.
Yeah.
They've got stars. But while you were watching the game, were you like, I can't believe I'm watching some of these Atlanta Braves guys. This is awesome. Even though they're struggling to start the year, some of the hitters. But that's what I mean. Baseball does not have that marketing arm. For whatever reason, just doesn't seem, unless it's Aaron Judge, unless it's Mike Trout, you know, years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shohei, he has had the marketing arm. How many other guys are there Major League Baseball that you'd stop what you are doing to watch?
I was interested in Ronald Acuna Jr. Mm-hmm. and Matt Olson. In 1995, not 10 years ago, obviously, in 1995, 30 years ago, I mean, Chipper Jones, David Justice,
there'd be six guys
Ryan Klesko, the entire pitching staff, Bobby Cox, that's 8-10 guys right off the top of your head you can think of. And I'm not even mentioning some of the guys that probably people are yelling at, like Marquise Grissom and like the whole thing. Like, that's different. But I tell it like, you guys got to get them on billboards. You guys got to do this. You got to do that. If you're one of these companies, if I own Ken Carman grocery stores, come on down to Ken Carman's, and I have X amount of dollars for advertising, I'm going to pick a football player or a basketball player. I'm not picking a baseball player. They're just going to use their money wisely football and basketball players.
Amazing, because the baseball player is performing every single night. You can see them. You can see them in the field. You've got games used to be 4 hours. I mean, now they're
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole. Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Considerably faster. It is pretty amazing.
Well, my other thing with baseball, though, is it's a failure sport, right? Like,
that's true. I said that to a kid last night.
One for three doesn't sound bad.
Yep.
3 for 10 sounds horrible. They're the same thing.
Yep. We have this little kid, and he gets down on himself over, I mean, he throws a ball, and he gets upset. He's very good, and I go, buddy, this sport is about losing. This sport is not about winning. This isn't darts. I go, this is about failure. I said, those words came out of my mouth, and I could hug you.
So is it because, as I've said this for years, that when you go to see a baseball player, especially, you know, a hitter, you might get 5 at-bats?
Yeah.
And maybe, if he's really good, he's getting walked and pitched around in 2 of those.
Yeah.
So you get 3 cracks at it,
and
maybe makes contact in 1 of the at-bats, and that's your big night going out to see the superstar. Like, the bang for your buck is almost never going to be there with baseball.
Let me go further.
Especially after the home runs had, you know, gone down, had diminished after steroids.
So Ken Carmen owns a, Anthony Lima owns a company called Bullseye, and they're a department store, and they're all across the country. And you need to put somebody as your spokesman. You're picking a football and basketball player. But if Anthony Lima owns Anthony Lima Costume Emporium, and it's got 10 locations in the greater Northeast Ohio area, you'll pick a baseball player. Doesn't cost as much.
Yeah, cheaper.
And it's
cheaper.
Regional, and there are people who follow it. And it's cheaper, and you can still get bang for your buck. So it's like, if I guarantee you a Cavs and a Browns player is way more expensive than a Guardians player. Guarantee it. So you can pick if you're a regional place, and that just goes into the regionality of what baseball has become, because it's like there's so many games. If there's double of what you're getting in basketball. You don't have time to watch these other teams. I watched the Guardians. I saw the Braves. I saw the Braves when they played the Guardians. I can't tell you the last time I turned on another team. I like a different game.
No.
Like, I'll tell you who, Brad Hamilton, who sits behind me, Tom Hamilton's son, over at 8. He's like, yes, I'm watching a Mets game. I know. I go, please keep watching a Mets game. Keep watching. You're a baseball guy. Be a baseball guy. I'll never make fun of you for it. That's fine. Because I'm the type of idiot who goes, well, I think I need to turn on Packers Titans in week 8 and see what Jordan Love's going to do and see whether or not I got to take on Jordan Love later, which is pathetic in certain ways. But why am I going to sit there and rip on him for liking baseball? Baseball needs their fans. They need as many as they could possibly get. I agree with you. Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims out at NFL today. Matt Ryan in. We got takes. You ready? Go.
I am very saddened that Boomer is gone. As much as we have had our fun with Boomer over the years on the radio, to the point where my co-host would lose his voice for the week imitating
Boomer
Esiason, who would lose his voice every day. That always was a good gag, despite what you might have heard. And despite the years Boomer used to just rip on the Cleveland Browns, he doesn't really do that anymore. It's not really part of his shtick. I really like Boomer. I think he is one of the best analysts of the NFL that I hear. And he doesn't do it the way that all the new age, like Dan Orlovsky, breaking down, you know, film. He does it in a different way. Boomer does it in a different way, kind of more old school. But I have always really liked Boomer Esiason. And I can't say that I would go out of my way to watch him on those pregame shows. But when he was making a point, maybe after a game, after the Browns game, and when you would get to that point where maybe Fox had the doubleheader, but I kept it on just to see some analysis of those 1 o'clock games, because there was always so many more 1 o'clock games. I caught myself drifting when other guys were talking. You know, Nate Burleson does a great job on the show. When Boomer talked, I listened. He was one of the few guys left that I actually would sit there and take mental notes like, oh, that's very interesting. I'm listening to what Boomer says.
As much as we ripped on him, I am interested in what Boomer Esiason has to say. I think he's entertaining. I've always thought he was entertaining. I thought he was entertaining with Boomer. I think he's entertaining with, or excuse Carton. Me, I think he's entertaining with Carton. I think he's entertaining with Gio. I like Gio. I think he's very entertaining. I think I find myself paying attention to what he says. No offense to Phil Sims. He was a fine quarterback. I'm sure he's a fine man.
Phil was great as an interview. When we had Phil Sims on, I was blown away, and I'm always like, where was this on any of the shows?
Yeah, that's right.
Or you doing the games? I'm like, where was this analysis?
You did say
that. Maybe some guys are better at different things, but the thing about Boomer Esiason, who used to do Westwood One, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Did Monday Night Football.
Boomer should be doing some
Westwood One.
I truly believe Boomer Esiason should be doing some of the biggest NFL games on television.
You are right, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because of his schedule. Maybe he just wants to slow down. I mean, isn't he 60 now?
Yeah.
He's got money. He's fine. I'm sure he's
Bernie's age.
Yeah. So I think that he's probably – maybe he just wants to slow down. What I don't get – now, maybe it just got too crowded. Mm-hmm. Maybe they had like – I think at one – don't they have six guys on that panel?
63, by the way. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. There's six guys on that panel. So I think they've subbed out two for one, and they're bringing in Matt Ryan. I'm sorry. I don't see it. Matt Ryan does nothing for me.
They got James Brown, Cowher, J.J. Watt was out of this year, Nate Burleson, Phil Sims, Boomer. They're all just on the panel.
Yeah.
And then they'll go off to the CBS sports reporter who, you know, was locking for a while. I forget who it is.
Jones.
Now. Yeah.
They'll go to the other places. Like if Aditi's doing a game, they'll check in with her. Obviously, Tracy Wolfson. They'll do a cut in with Jim and Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, which I think is a vastly maybe I'm in the wrong now, but I think it's a vastly underrated booth with him and Charles Davis.
I totally agree.
It's one of the best. It might be one of the best in sports. I think it might be the best in football that I like. And by the way, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, really good on ESPN. I think they're really good. So. Yeah. No offense to Matt Ryan. You said, tell everybody what you thought he looked like.
Wait, what did
you
I
remember?
Say?
Politician?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he's running for Senate in Georgia.
He does. And I'll give anybody a shot, you know, and especially guys make their mistakes when they start out. But normally it's the guys that just retire that have the biggest of opinions. And I watch Matt Ryan and I'm like, oh, he's still too nice. He's being way too nice. And I would even go so far as to say, like, Bill Cowher has been great on our show. But he's also so far removed now from coaching that I want to hear from guys that coach today's players.
Mm.
And so,
like, if McVay were to step away from the Rams,
he would be unbelievable, because coaching the players today, way different from Bill Cowher coaching the players then. They're almost two different jobs now.
Yeah.
Same thing for college coaches. You know, Dan Mullen
does a great job in the studio.
You know, he actually does a really good job.
He's great in studio.
But these jobs have changed so much that you're not really giving me anything when I'm listening to a guy that really, Bill Cowher is more of a broadcaster now than a coach.
Yeah.
I know we call him coach. He's a broadcaster. So I do think you always have to kind of throw loyalty to the side. They would never do it, especially CBS. CBS has been very conservative over the years, sticking with their guys, wearing their jackets, and having it look a certain way, sound a certain way. So I don't think they're in any hurry to replace Cowher. I wonder how much longer, you know, Cowher wants to do it. But I think a healthy turnover would improve these shows more frequently. Think about Tony Romo, how amazing he was, how dynamic he was as a color guy. Well, it's been how many years now? Has it been a decade with Tony Romo in the booth?
Close to it.
All right, well, what are we not getting from Tony Romo that we used to get? Him knowing all the plays, which I'm actually okay with. I don't want the plays spoiled, so... That was cool for a year.
I think a lot of fans don't want the play spoiled.
Yeah, that was cool for a year because we'd never seen it done before. But I would say he's come back to the pack. I don't. It doesn't sound to me like he is really studying film.
No.
Like somebody like Charles Davis.
I think Jim Nantz has to bail him out too much.
Yeah. Look, Tony Romo is a celebrity. I mean, he's a busy guy. He's golfing every day.
Yeah.
So I would like to see more turnover with these groups. I think Boomer, though, would step in immediately. He's done a Super Bowl. People forget that, right? Yeah. I mean, that was 20 years ago, but he did. Yeah, he did. He did.
Maybe he just doesn't want to. I don't know. Final thing.
Yep.
Do you think Mace Dogg's going to play baseball?
I think every kid plays baseball, right?
Will you be a coach?
No.
You don't want to be a coach?
Absolutely not.
Would you be a basketball coach for Mace Dogg?
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's odd, because I was a reluctant basketball coach for Axel last year. This year I go, no effing way.
Why not?
I'm not doing it. Because I needed a little bit. I'm like, I just want to sit in the stands. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit there. Like, I can't help with the finer points. And so, like, I can help try to talk down in football and that sounds bad. Football and baseball a little bit. But when it comes to basketball, there's some finer points there that I'm just not going to be good at. I can organize and I can try to do that. But other than that, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to. I don't want to do three sports. I really don't.
No, that's true. You should not have to.
So, that's it. Basically, our whole coaching staff nearly got thrown out of the game yesterday.
What happened yesterday? Because
so I'll try to do this quick. I already did it for Owen.
I just find it hard to believe you and how responsible you are. As much as we have fun on the radio, you also roll your eyes at what other guys, other parents, you roll your eyes a lot. And you're like, come on.
But I talk to you for 14 hours a week on the air, this and the show. And I'm used to debating
you. Take a whole show off?
So everything's it's 20 hours. Yeah, well, I'm taking a whole show off this week. So 22 hours a week, I sit there and talk to you on the air. And I don't think that you take a whole show and a half off. I forget that sometimes. Last night, and I'm one of the guys that's like, dude, you got to treat these guys right. Treat them nice. We're running out of umpires. We need umpires bad. And last night, top of the first inning, we're playing in Edinburgh, wonderful little community, wonderful little township, right there.
Racer phrases.
I'm serious. I have nothing against the people, the parents, the coaches. The coach on the other team had been coaching 23 years. Really nice guy. Yes, a listener. So that was part of it. But,
did you check the birth certificate on the kid for 23 years?
Well, I'm imagining it's his grandson or, you know what
now
I mean?
He's
an elder of the community. Like, we're not that far away from Edinburgh, but it's still, like, it's down there a little bit. So we're in Edinburgh, and this team's a good team. Like, they won the whole thing last year, and it's the top of the first. So they're playing 10U rules. We're playing 9U rules. So I'm not trying to go into the weeds too much, but there's some things that are different here, and it's a little bit shocking. So we go to steal a base, and our kid goes sliding into second. The shortstop accidentally, they're all wearing yellow because it's Little League baseball. Both teams are wearing yellow.
Yeah.
He tags his second baseman by accident. He just basically runs into him and takes his arm and swings with the glove, and he hits a second baseman, doesn't hit the kid running, and the umpire calls him out. The manager, head coach, down the third base line is like, hey, whoa, he hit a second baseman. He did not hit my kid. He calls that play off. He reverses his own call.
He reversed the call.
And in my head, I go, this ain't going to be a good day. In favor.
Yeah, that's
And I go, this is not going to be a good day. We are at Edinburgh Fields, beautiful fields. Not an eraser phrase. They're really nice. There was one ball that got stuck over by the highway, so I had to step over the fence like I was Big John Studd to go get it. But there was, other than that, it was perfect. Except you're right by the highway, and it's loud. There's trucks going by. It's a weekday. A lot of traffic coming through. You're still kind of in that, like, we started like 5:45, so it's like still in that, you know, rush hour deal.
Yeah.
So it's loud. And this guy, he's 20-something years old. We don't know what's a ball. We don't know what's a strike. They're getting frustrated. We're getting frustrated. So we get to like the bottom of the fifth. We've played five innings. It's like, hey, or top of the fifth. It's like, hey, this is going to be the end. We're almost up against it with the time. Like, this is going to be the last inning. So we start actually getting hits last inning. We score two runs. We got runners on like second and third. We got a runner at the corner. They throw down to second. Instead of throwing down, they held on to the ball. Instead of they throw down to second. Our runner comes home. He scores. The kid at second tries to throw down to home. It's a pass ball. It stops barping around the backstop. Our kid at second goes to third. The catcher throws it to third. You can see their coaches going, no, just hold on to the damn thing. They throws it to third. Over the third baseman's head, into left field, our kid score. And I go, you're up, you're up, you're up. Everything's fine. I did not see this. Hand to Christ. Our kid batting, look, almost said his name, high-fived the other teammate on his way through. I didn't see it. So the manager on the other team, one of the other coaches, I don't think it was the manager on the other team, goes, whoa, you can't do that. You can't touch a player. That's interference. You cannot touch another player. Now, I know this guy's right, but I didn't see it. Now, I'm standing at the dugout because I always hang out in the dugout, make sure everybody's – I'm not – the type of football coach I am when it comes to baseball. I'm making sure everybody's in line, whatever. And so this is where this is going to go haywire. He's sitting there and he looks at me and I'm like, well, I'm not the manager. Don't look at me. Like, look down at third base. He will not look at the head coach. He will not look at the manager and he will not look at the assistant coach down the first baseline. And the other dad is very in on it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're both very in on things. So this kid who has been trying to make everybody happy is making everybody mad. So he looks at me and he goes, I got to call him out. I go, you can't call him out. You're going to reverse this decision in the bottom of the top of this inning, this last inning. You can't reverse your decision. And the other guy goes, well, he did touch him. I go, that's inconsequential. You've made your decision. We live with your decision no matter what. There's been plenty of balls and strikes here that you've called that none of us agreed with that we just decided to live with here. You can't do this. And he goes, well, that's what I do. I go, he said he saw him. That's what he said. He said he saw him. I go, that doesn't matter, buddy. If I go out here to 76 and I go speeding, I don't turn myself into the cops because he didn't see me. And he takes off his mask and he looks at me and he goes, you know what? I went, hey, because I'm going, I cannot be thrown out of a baseball game.
That would have been amazing.
I realize.
How loud were you?
I'm me. What do you think?
So you're this loud right now.
But this is how loud it was. And this is how meek this umpire was. I'm loud enough to where it gets him to take off his mask. Like, oh boy, I can't get thrown out of here. So I go, I swear to God, guys, I went, you know what? You're right. I'm going to step back in the dugout. We're good. We're all good here. Don't be throwing me out. We're good here. So two pitches go by. They walk the kid.
I was going to say we had a Ken Carmen breakthrough. No. This was good.
No. They walk the kid. And bases are loaded again. Another kid gets walked, okay? The kid who was at bat is at second base. Yeah. Our bases are loaded. And the manager of the other team goes, hey, talking to his pitcher, relax. You got two out here. Focus on the batter. And my manager goes, we got one out. No, you got two outs. That kid was called out at home. And all of a sudden, the manager of the other team, like, he has his head in his hands. He goes, yeah, you called him out, and then you let him continue batting, which if you were to call him out, that's interference on the batter. The batter's out. Now they're batting out of order.
So like,
you
can tell the whole thing is a mess.
He's been taken to the hilt now. We're all at the hilt. My manager comes walking down the third baseline. He's chirping at him. Matt's chirping at him down at the first baseline.
Yeah, what could you do at that point?
And me and the other dad, Pat, we're in the dugout going, we couldn't believe it. They could not hear us talking to this umpire. The umpire's quiet. We got highway noise going by. Yeah. They didn't hear us saying a damn word. Long story short, it's me putting my arm around my buddy. And I'm like, hey, man, like the game ends. The next pitch was a strikeout. It's so unfortunate. And I just like, even the other manager's like, I've been doing this 23 years. This is the worst I've ever seen. And the guy was a great guy. His team was great kids. And we're just like, thank God it's the regular season because we both feel like we got screwed over. Yeah. Congratulations on your win, but we both feel like we got hosed. All of us, both teams.
Can I give you a quick piece of advice?
Yeah.
League games, can't get kicked out of them if you're in the league.
Oh, he's
because you'll suffer a suspension. That's why you always schedule one or two tournaments a year. Then you get to blow off some steam.
The manager of the other team, he talked to my buddy. He goes, brother, it ain't worth it. They're gonna kick you out for the next two games.
Yeah.
He goes, it sucks. Just don't do it. Because this is a guy who's been doing it a long time. Right. He's probably been thrown out of a few baseball games and no over his time. And I'm a champion of umpires. We need umpires. We need them. I'm like, buddy, first rule is you make your decision and we live with it and we might be pissed, but that's the end of it. You cannot reverse your decision. The second you start reversing your decision, then we think we can influence you. Then that's it. You'll never get us back. You will never, ever get us back if you reverse your decision.
The funny thing is I'm sitting here saying, how could you get carried away? How could you? But you're telling the story, and I'm like, you know what? It's just going to be a matter of time before it happens to me.
It's
just going to be because it's not about the sport. It's not about whether the team wins or loses. It's not even about your kid. It's about winning an argument, and what do we love doing more than anything else? We like winning an argument.
Because you get embarrassed in front, in public. You know what you're doing is out of order.
Right.
And so you have to win, so you're the one in the right. So everybody around knows that you were the right one and the other person was the wrong one. And so I'm an excitable guy, and because I talk to you and I take so many pot shots at you, I can't help it, man. Sometimes I forget where I'm at. I forget that we don't have an on-air light, and I'm just talking to a normal. I'm talking to a civilian. Mm. I'm just like, whoa, you got to step out of here for a second, boss.
He's CBBAO-ing.
Yeah.
Clean. Good guy. July 3rd, 2023 in Minner.
Yeah.
That Owen got tossed from a game.
There.
I won't forget it. Neither will the parents on my team. They brought it up to me this weekend when we were playing.
Same thing for a football game last year. I threw a pot shot back at a guy because for that moment, I'm talking to Anthony Lima. I forgot I was talking to an official. I felt terrible. If I find that guy next year, I'm going to be like, hey, man, I shouldn't have said what I said to you. And thanks for doing what you do. I was like, if I see him for the rest of the season, I'm going to say something because it was ridiculous. And I'll fill you in another time. But yeah, so.
Now imagine if it would have been Evan Mobley losing his mind watching this whole thing go down.
You wouldn't have heard him over the highway noise.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.